This is CliffCentral.com.
We began before words, and we will end beyond them. It sometimes seems to me that our days are poisoned with too many words. Words said and not meant, words said and meant. Words divorced from feeling, wounding words, words that conceal, words that reduce, dead words. He went on. The ages have been inundated with vast oceans of words. We have been virtually drowned in them. Words pour at us from every angle and corner. He went on. At best, our cry for meaning, for serenity, is answered by a greater silence. These are excerpts from the great poet Ben Okri. It's in silence that I have found my greatest joy. When I write, when I speak, and when I'm in media, my psychology is extremely full and healthy. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I'm your host, Timothy Maurice. This is the show where we interrogate the relationship between brain power and brand influence. Today is all about living well, psychological wellness. You finding your highest psychological self. Psychology is defined as a scientific study of behavior and mental processes. Philosophical interest in the mind and behavior dates back to the ancient civilizations of Egypt, Persia, Greece, China, and India. Psychology as a subconscious field of experimental study began in 1879 when William Wundt founded the first laboratory dedicated exclusively to psychological research in Germany. The medieval Muslim physician Ahmed ibn Sal-Balki, around the year 880, was first to interrogate the relationship between the body and mind, proposing if the psyche gets sick, the body may also find no joy in life. Today, I speak to two young ladies who have dedicated their career to ensure professionals live and work well. Co-founders of Move Consulting Psychology, a firm developed to ensure employees in the workplace can thrive and experience wellness mentally and emotionally. Their first names are Alicia and Charlene. Welcome to the Brain and Brand Show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hi, Timothy. Thank you so much for having us. We're very excited to be chatting to you today.
Alicia, I just want to make sure everyone knows who is who. Alicia, why did you become a psychologist?
So at some point growing up, I started developing a liking and curiosity to understand the deeper meaning of things, of thoughts, of people. And what actually fascinated me the most was emotions. And that was when I decided that I want to be a psychologist.
And Charlene, talk to us. Why did you decide to become a psychologist?
So in school, I was the typical nerd, and I was the girl that people came to copy Matt's homework and write their Shakespearean essays for them. But I always knew that I wanted to be part of the unknown. So in my extended family, for example, we had a lot of mental disorders, and it was always fascinating to me that really made me curious as to why people behave or react in a certain situation. And it really became clear to me that I wanted to pursue psychology in my grade 11 year, actually, when a new English teacher was introduced to us, and he studied in the discipline, and he was a very good role model.
It's amazing how teachers have so much influence over our life. I was just thinking back to Mrs. Watkins. Mrs. Watkins threw a chair at me once, and I think that helped me psychologically. I know, you know, Mr. Watkins, I'm sure you've been feeling bad about this. So if you're listening and somebody forwards you this podcast, don't feel bad. It really did help me. So how did you guys meet, Alicia?
So Charlene and I, we actually studied at the same university, which is the University of Cape Town, most commonly known as UCT. And funny enough, we did not really know each other back then. And we started working at this consulting firm together. And it's been since then. I mean, afterwards, we each went off our own way, and we kind of like connected. We always stayed in touch and connected a few months ago, and we decided to open this business together.
Was it, Charlene, was it love at first sight? When you first saw Alicia and you saw how her mind works, did you like, I can definitely work with this woman?
Oh, most definitely. She's really beautiful inside and out. you know, when I joined that company, I was literally the person hired that reports to the intern. And she taught me a lot. I really think so. And it's always a pleasure working with her.
And are you guys each other's psychologists at all?
I think with Charlene, it's always easy to talk to her. She's always open to my thoughts, feelings, suggestions. And I think, yes, to some extent, we do kind of like counsel each other. But to be each other's psychologist per se, I wouldn't think so.
Charlene, do you want to comment on this?
Yeah, I think yes and no. Yes, because we're always listening to each other and we're driving each other's thoughts and we're playing devil's advocate with each other. And no, because if I'm really in a rut, she just tells me, let's just eat our feelings away.
Is it possible for an individual to be their own psychologist? You know, there are people who, you know, specifically in a lot of families of color, they rely so much on religion that they assume that going to a psychologist, there's a problem with you or something. And, you know, demystifying these things are really important. Can you be your own psychologist? And if so or yes, kind of explain why.
I think as a person, you can learn to develop a level of self-awareness. You can learn to develop how you understand your own emotions and how you understand the emotions of those around you. And that's why we are actually here, to empower people in understanding themselves and the people around them. But whether you can be your own psychologist, well, even a psychologist needs another psychologist. So we can only teach you techniques to become a person who understands themselves better, but and to kind of hand you back that locus of control, that you can have power over your own feelings, over your own thoughts, and that's what we're trying to do to people. But to be your own psychologist, I think that's a profession on its own.
I mean, you guys are both really beautiful, like you said, inside out. And I can imagine that you attract all types of people, all types of potential partners. You know, are people afraid of you? Like, do you have partners that you've chased away because they were scared of you? Charlene, you want to take this?
I'm actually laughing, Tim, because it's, yeah, it has happened. I mean, I've met so many people where as soon as they ask me, hey, Charlene, what do you do? And I say, I'm a psychologist. They stop speaking to me, literally stop speaking. Or on the other spectrum, they'll tell me, so do you want to psychoanalyze me? So, yeah, I think it's a bit intimidating to say you're a psychologist to some people because they feel a bit less safe. And it's understandable because you're coming there and they sort of get the perception that you're trying to suss them out.
I'm imagining that you can. I mean, men, we are kind of full of crap anyway. And I'm imagining you can see through the full of crapness quicker than some people. So, you know, do you see it as, an extra skill to be able to help you navigate relationships?
I think most definitely. Well, funny enough, yes, we're a psychologist, and people, like Charlene said, always have this myth about, you know, you walk into this room and you introduce yourself, people ask you, what do you do for a living? And you say, I'm a psychologist. And they kind of like put on this barrier of caution that you might be reading my mind. And funny enough, yes, we do read people. We do understand personalities. It just takes me 5 minutes to chat to someone and understand what's going on. You know, how do they prefer things to be or not to be? But there's always this thing about privacy. I would never address something unless the person reaches out or I feel that they really need help. And in our daily relationships, whether we want it or not, I mean, we are who we are. We know the profession, but it's all about respecting people's feelings and emotions, and which to us, it's the core of what we do about ethics and confidentiality, and we won't breach that.
You know, I'm going to add this question in at the end of the show. I'm going to put you guys on the spot, and I want you both to tell me one thing about me, and if I'm crazy, just say it. By the way, are you guys secretly a little crazy? Charlene, I'm looking in your eyes now, and I see a little something. What do I see?
Well, I did jump off a bridge. I don't know if that constitutes as crazy. but I think a little bit of crazy is good, and if I have that, then all the better for me.
Yeah. And you?
I think, yeah, we're both definitely crazy. I mean, yeah, she jumped off a bridge, I jumped off a plane, and, well, it all defined what crazy means. I mean, for us, crazy is passion. Crazy is doing the one thing that you really want to do. And for me, crazy is changing the lives of people through this business like we do every day. So that's for me is crazy.
Speaking of crazy, the workplace seems to be going crazy right now. People can't seem to work together. I mean, if you look at the recent rugby, sports, chaos, Ashwin, Mallet, Nas, whatever the names are, these sports presenters seem to be, you know, at each other's head. You know, what do you think is happening? Why is there so much tension in the workplace? Why does it seem like the workplace is going crazy?
For me, it's simple. Work or an organization exists. You know, there are clients, there are assets, but essentially it's because of its people. And when you talk about people, it means unique human beings with different personalities, different values, different kind of emotions. And if people don't understand each other, and this is where we actually, you know, work with organizations and bringing people together, bringing team together towards one strategic goal, bringing the best out of people through this different kind of personalities. And there are values that underpins the emotions, which is also very important, and that differs from people to people.
You know, okay, you want to comment?
Yeah. On top of that, I'd like to add the idea of expectations and finding common ground, because a lot of the times in teams, especially teams that work in silos, the expectations are either not clearly defined and then or they're not really met. Yeah, and then also with common ground, like you said, the values and the belief system, if the common ground is not laid out in a foundation, that makes it even more difficult to work.
Okay.
And I think just to add to what Charlene just said is a lot of times teams don't work well together because of leadership. And if you don't have the kind of leader who would be able to bring people together and manage them, not be managers, but be leaders, I think that creates a huge difference in organizations. And often what we find the challenge is we have people heading up organizations who don't necessarily understand the emotions or allowing their emotions to cloud their judgment or not valuing people as unique human beings, and that often, more than often, creates a rift in teams. And you find people leaving not the organization or not their job per se, but leaving their leaders.
You know, one thing I love about your name, Move Consultant, is that, you know, if I think about psychologists like Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning, he talked about how when he was being tortured, he would fix his mind on his wife's beauty, and it would relieve him from the torture. And it's, he says, between what happens and how you respond is choice, or I would like to say your ability to move in a direction, which is why I love this name. It's like between what happens to you and how you respond, you have the option to move. Who came up with this cool name? Okay, you're pointing at Alicia. Alicia, were you sitting in a bath in a spa and you went, aha, move, that's it. What happened? How'd you come up with it?
Yeah, I didn't run out crying Eureka, but it took me quite a few weeks of scribbling. I was trying to find this business name. I had all these ideas in my head, and took me a couple of blocks of papers, writing it down, and eventually when I chatted to Charlene, then we refined it, and she was on board. But what I was essentially looking for is a name that speaks vibrance, a name that speaks energy. I didn't want it to be a Naju Umrao psychologist firm, but something that speaks to the youth, a name which is relatable and dynamic, and that speaks of change, momentum, and excitement. So what we're trying to convey here is exactly what you're saying, moving away from a state of stagnation, moving away to something new, whether it is discovering old self, new self, but moving away from this current spot of your life, whether it's personal or work, where you're not particularly maybe happy, or there is more to unleash about yourself. So it is moving towards your purpose.
I mean, I love it. I think when I remember, I was sitting in a Starbucks in New York, never been to Africa, enjoying my life, living like my dream world. And I had the option. And I was sitting there, my head was down, I was thinking about moving to this part of the world and moving to a different chapter of my career and thinking about how it could open up. And if I had not made that move, first of all, I wouldn't have this conversation with you, but secondly, I wouldn't have explored dimensions of myself. And this idea of move, I mean, when I've been thinking about it coming into this interview, it's a powerful, powerful concept. So thank you. Speaking of move, people are moving in social media in a very narcissistic way. I mean, people are moving the phone towards themselves, and it's about me, me, me. Is that impacting the workplace?
I would say yes. So this is a really good question for me because I'm currently doing research on the topic of narcissism, and I'm linking it to leadership success. And by the secondary research that I've currently found, what we've picked up is that, to an extent, narcissistic leaders are being very successful leaders. And it's very interesting because those groups of people are now millennials. Okay, and millennials, one of their traits is narcissism. That self-absorbent behavior, that charisma, but it's about the self-actualization. You know, it's working towards something that I want, that I'm going to benefit from. So all of that business idea and that leadership goes towards that, but in a very charismatic way to make it look as if you're an authentic leader. And it's very interesting because at the end of the day, it is narcissism, and it can lead to a personality disorder or subclinical factors that ruin you in some or other way, whether it's in your home life or your work life.
It's funny because there's a model, Ashley Graham, who is speaking to Trevor Noah on The Daily Show about how the success of model, she's apparently now on America's Next Top Model with Tyra, and she says that the success of a model it's about how narcissistic they are and how if they can get more followers, brands want to partner with them. But they don't have to work in teams. So I can imagine that if you have to work in teams, it's a huge problem. If you're sitting around thinking about me, me, me all day. By the way, I've looked at both of your social medias. And I've ranked your narcissism, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being highly narcissistic. Before I give you the number, Alicia, do you want to tell me, do you think your social media profile says that you are narcissistic or high level or low level narcissism?
Geez, Tim, you're putting me right on the spotlight here. I think I'm not actually a huge social media fan. I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on Instagram. I just try to keep Facebook and to keep connected to my family and friends. They are all over the world, scattered throughout Africa and the rest of the world. So that's a way of me being in touch with them. And I don't think I've recently been posting quite a few pictures, and I would prefer normally to post pictures of the scenery I'm looking at and not at myself. But besides my profile picture, I don't think I'll be much of a narcissist.
But what I found was neither of you are. And to be honest with you, I check out people's social media before I decide to interview them. And one of the reasons why I decided to have the confidence of interviewing you is I felt your low level of narcissism is a quality and a trait that's going to help you thrive in your career, which is why I was comfortable having this conversation. So just so you know, yes.
And I just want to add, I think our profession, and I think Charlene and I'm speaking for both of us now, we chose this profession because it's our calling. And being a psychologist, if you are a narcissist, then being a psychologist is putting people at first. I mean, putting people first before you, whether it is at work or whether it is with your family, because you understand where they're coming from, where the emotions and the how and the whys of thing. So if we had to be narcissist and a psychologist, I think we would be highly convoluted.
So before we move to a close, I want you to give me a couple really cool brain boosting, psychological boosting tips. That's it. Just a couple. Who wants to go first? Here we go. Thank you.
Okay, so I actually wrote a blog last week, and I'll take you through it because it's quite a small little case study, and you can think about it. But if you're in an adverse situation, okay, how do you simmer down your aroused level of stress and anxiety and emotions? Okay, so I've based this model on Albert Ellis's model, and he's a renowned psychologist in the field, and he had the ABC model. So let me take you through something quick and easy that you can relate to. So pretend that you're standing in the queue at Pick and Pay, and you are waiting to pay for all your goodies, and the line is really long, but you really have to get all of this stuff done. So you look at your watch, it's already almost 7 p.m., dinner still has to be made, the kids must be fed, bathed, put to bed. Okay, the dog needs to be fed. And, you know, you still have to prepare for work for the board of directors meeting the next day at 8 o'clock. So you can see your time's quite limited. And now you're already a bit annoyed and at unease. And imagine three people come out of nowhere and cut the queue in front of you. And you have to stand now in that line for another 20 minutes. What is your reaction? Okay, so there's a few reactions that could happen. Yeah, maybe you can guess, Tim.
Well, first of all, I would be listening to a podcast like this one, and I'd be really frustrated, but I'd try to focus my reaction back on the podcast. I don't know if that's B or C or what that is.
Okay, so that's one way. So other consequences is, or the reactions could be, you begin swearing at yourself or out loud. You know, that's not a good thing. You confront the people who cut the queue. That could be another reaction, or you drag them out of the queue. You leave the store in a rage without your groceries, or hopefully not, you steal the groceries and make a run for it. So that could be a reaction. But, you know, it seems extreme, but it does happen. So simply put, according to Alice, this is what's happening to you. You adversity struck, as in the people cut the queue. You changed in some or other way, and then your reaction was either to swear or to confront. And let's pretend that your reaction was not to leave the store without your groceries, okay? You've got to really ask yourself, what was your desired behavior or desired outcome, sorry. If your desired outcome was to make sure that your kids and your husband or your wife have something to eat for dinner before going to bed, then you have not made a good, sound decision. And then you've really got to ask yourself, how did I change? Okay, now if we look at how we change, three things pop into my mind. Your physiological state. And that's the things that happen to you physiologically. You're sweating, your hypertension, your heart rate goes up, your sweaty palms. And then you have the emotional state. So you were irritated, it turned into anger, you were annoyed, and then it became rage and you stomped out of the store. And then there's this small thing that's a big trigger, and it's called your belief system and the values. And within that is, what are you telling yourself? What are you saying to yourself that heightens those emotions and gives you that effect of the sweaty palms and, you know, the really, really red face? And if you listen to yourself, you'll hear a lot of noise or interference. Some of the stuff is really validated. You know, this person or these people, they're really disrespectful. That is very validated, I would say. But if you're telling yourself, I wish I had a gun to kill these people, I mean, would you really? So it's about finding that static interference and dealing with it and trying to notch it down, still validating your feelings because it is validated. But saying it to yourself in a way that you can really drop down those reactions or those feelings to get a better reaction out of it. I know that's a lot of stuff, but it's just a little bit of food for thought.
Are you going to post this blog onto your website?
Yes, of course. We have a LinkedIn page and a Facebook page, and I'm happy to share that, which I will do by the end of today.
Because it's a very good reading, because in this model you share is valuable. And I think back recently when I was on the phone with Expedia. I use them a lot for my domestic travel in the States, and I've always had good service with them. But this particular trip, they screwed up and flipped my flight from Boston to New York back to Dubai. They flipped it, and they were going to charge me an extra something like $800. I felt my physiology changing. Mm-hmm. Everything you're sharing, and I kept thinking, if I get off the phone now, how is that going to throw off what I want my desired outcome to be? Yeah. So as you're talking through this, I'm going through this process, and it's extremely valuable. And being able to make, I didn't make the best decision. I won't tell you what my decision was. But if I had listened to you earlier, I probably would have made the better decision. Just quickly, I told you I was going to ask you at the very end, what is one thing you guys have observed about me? What have you observed, Alicia?
So let's do a little bit of what I do best, which is reading people. So, Tim, you can agree to disagree with me. You are the kind of person who's open to experience. You love experiencing new things. You like your structures to a certain extent, but you love change. You can't be the man who lives in one place all the time. There needs to be new things to excite you and excite your experience. As a person... you do like your own space. Yes, there are times that you would go out and meet people, and it's part of who you are in your profession. But coming back home after a long day, you're not the kind of person who will see yourself mingling with a large group of people and, you know, burning the midnight oil, kind of like partying. But you do like for you to get back your energy after a long, tiring day. You need to be on your own, just refocus, rewire your brain until then you're good to go and meet people out again and mingle with them. You're very poised as a person. You handle stress and your emotions quite well. You are very self-aware with your own emotions, understanding how you're feeling, why you're feeling, and maybe that's because, you know, you have studied, like you said, neuroscience, and you've been working in the field of psychology and personal branding for quite a while, but you're also very well attuned with how other people are feeling. And, Charlene?
I kept waiting for the but. But you'll be a disaster in a relationship. I can't wait. I'm waiting for the but. Like, you're self-absorbed. You want all this time to rewire yourself, and you're going to be horrible in a relationship. Is that what you were picking up?
Actually, yeah, we definitely were not psychic. So, actually, I had a question for you. So, what do you think about settling down and being stable, having a stable environment where, you know, that you can call home? Because I know you do travel quite a lot.
Thank you so much for that question. And maybe if we do another podcast, we'll answer that question. I really enjoy it. You guys have been making time for this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me. And all the best as you help people move to the next level. And I promise, for those who listen to this podcast, I'd be interested to know, what do you think about their assessment of me? And then maybe you can also answer Charlene's last question, and we'll have that dialogue online. I really enjoyed this conversation, so thank you so much.
No, thank you, Tim. This was really extraordinary, and hope to do it again.
And Alicia, just the website and how people can find you guys to connect with you so that you can start partnering with them.
So our website address is simple. It's www.moveconsulting.co.za. And all our contact details as well as our offerings and are quite nicely outlined on the website and our contact email addresses as well. But we're primarily based in Cape Town, but open to anybody out there who needs our help. And it's just Alicia or Charlene at moveconsulting.co.za.
Guys, thank you again. Go to iTunes, Apple Podcast, and rate the show now and comment. Help others find us. We'll be back next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.